Welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch. We took a little break here, didn't we? Well, I'm talking to no one yet because I haven't introduced our special guest. You know, last month, we had Fernando Rivera and he talked about his After Living book and it was a good time. We talked about Psycho 2 and 3. Fun. So now we are back with a oldie but a goodie, Matt Emmer.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Matt Emmer.
Oldie, but a goodie.
That's
right. You know, I've got to say, when I listened to your podcast last time, I was like, I was feeling FOMO. You know, and it's funny.
That don't know what FOMO is, can you tell them what that means?
It means fear of man otters.
Oh, yeah.
No, it means fear of missing out. And who doesn't know who FOMO is?
Well, you know, all the four people listening may not know.
I was like, I heard it and I was like, wait, because I've gotten so used to doing these with you that I was like, I was kind of jealous, actually.
You're jealous of Fernando Rivera?
I was jealous.
Named after a soap star?
I mean, not him specifically, just that you had someone else on here.
I'm going to go with specifically just to add some drama.
it was specifically Fernando.
Poor Fernando.
No, I was jealous. I was like, oh my God, I want to talk about that movie. And you know what? It's because you guys talked about Halloween 4, because as your viewers know, or listeners?
People sometimes just stare at the podcast.
Yeah, they did. That was nice. There was a big beep outside.
Yeah.
Because you guys talked about Halloween 4, and Halloween, as everyone knows, is my favorite series.
But so is Halloween like, 4 specifically?
Not Halloween 4, the original, but I mean, the whole franchise is my favorite, so I wanted to chime in, and I was like listening in my car. Yes, I was listening. And
Wait, let me stop you just for 1 second. For anyone who listens to podcasts, the best place is the car.
Oh, yeah, because, okay. I mean, well, what else are you going to do?
Don't worry about it.
I mean, like, you make phone calls, you listen to podcasts, you talk about Tara Reid, by the way.
Yes, I love Tara Reid.
Tim loves Tara Reid.
And if anyone has any connections to Tara Reid, I want to talk to her about Sharknado 1 through 5.
And Ms. Reid, if you're out there, just know you have a huge fan in Tim, and it's been his lifelong dream of his long 31 years of life.
I actually have had an experience with Tara Reid.
And what kind of experience?
Well, I was working at the Pacific Design Center in like 2001, and she was walking out of a party, and I was like, oh, you dropped your purse, and I picked it up and gave it to her.
Did you take any money?
Yes. She was just with hundies everywhere.
I feel like, did she have like any, did you see anything in the purse? I feel like
No. It was like one of those tiny purses that maybe could hold two things in
okay,
it.
So if you could name three things that you think would definitely 100% be inside Tara Reid's purse, what would they
okay,
be?
Okay, okay. That's easy. Chapstick. maybe a pack of gum.
Boring.
And a banana. That's my entire Tara Reid story. Like, it's not that great. She dropped her purse. I picked it up.
Yeah, but I mean, that is getting closer than a lot of people.
I know. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to brag starting off the podcast, but there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Yes.
What are we here to talk about?
There's so many things to talk about. Do you want to start talking about a movie first, or do you want to talk about the release of a Halloween trailer?
I think we should start with a movie, because then if we start with Halloween trailer, we'll probably be talking about it for like 200 years.
Right. And people love
200
that.
Years.
Okay. The movie Matt and I saw is, oh, we actually went with some friends.
We did on opening night, but it's not even opening night anymore. When you go on the Thursday night before, it's like opening before opening night.
So it was opening.
It was like opening.
And we went to the fancy theater.
Yeah. Century City.
Well, it was even fancier.
I'm kidding. No, was it? It was Landmark, the Landmark Theater.
It was like an ArcLight ripoff.
Which, by the way, for all you MoviePass,
they take it.
MoviePass users. No. Not just that they take. I mean, every theater takes MoviePass now,
not true.
Right?
Okay. I don't think the ArcLight.
You know, don't argue. With
don't, I mean, let me just the record straight.
No. The Landmark theaters have an exclusive deal with MoviePass, so you can do e-ticketing, which means you don't have to wait till you get to the theater to pick your seat. So you can actually do reserve seating, which you can't do at most theaters.
So it's actually convenient to have it.
Yeah. So why do I feel like we're doing an advertisement for
because they paid us. Thank you.
Thanks, Landmark. Happy Horror Time. Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Landmark Theaters.
Right. You could see my ad before the movies now.
Your first choice in cinema use.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about Hereditary.
Okay, so before we even start talking about the movie, let's just get to what I thought was better than the whole movie. Colin Farrell was sitting in front of us.
Yes.
He had his dirty black and white hair.
Well, I think they call that salt and pepper.
Oh, you see, I'm not hip to that, but even though I have it.
Well, so just to set the scene, we're sitting in like
it's a row.
It's like the second row above, you know, the big like divider or rail or whatever.
Catwalk.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
Oh, yeah. Catwalk, of course. And then he walks in with a woman who looked probably half his age.
I would say 21, maybe.
Yeah, like on a good day. And he, I guess he's now, what, his late 40s?
I'd say so. Did you ever see his sex tape?
I did see his sex tape. He has a huge, huge
ego.
Appetite for,
for no, fame.
He was, I remember he had a shaved head in the sex tape. Type.
Sex type.
Where did sex that type. Come from in the sex, sex type?
Sex makes you nervous.
He had a shaved head in the sex tape. Mm-hmm. He was eating out a woman, and he said that he could eat her for breakfast, oh, lunch, dear. And dinner. And so my question was, when I have the same meal for breakfast, I can't even have it for like lunch
no.
or dinner. So like for him to say he could Colin. Eat her out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like that's like... That's like major.
And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I think it was improv'd. I don't think that sex tape was scripted. I don't think it was.
Or Colin Farrell wrote it himself.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was very distracted. So
yeah, he walked into the movie and watched it with the
like the movie started and like I was just watching him and like I was like, does he think this is funny? Does he like this part?
That's what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was.
Well, we should, for anyone who doesn't know okay. what Hereditary is
Hereditary
about.
Hereditary is a highly praised, critical darling, but I didn't like it.
Wait, what? What the fuck? A critical darling?
Mm-hmm, like, critics loved it.
Oh, is that what they call, like, movies critics mm-hmm. like? A critical darling?
Critical darling.
Listen, I think you're a critical. You're a critical darling.
That's true.
Yeah, it has gotten, well, it started at 100% and I think it's down to 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it, like, countless articles written about how great it is, the most terrifying movie of the year. It's just like everyone is raving about it, and most people that are writing about it and writing reviews are saying it's incredible. So now, Tim, what are your thoughts? What do you think?
Okay. So the lights
went
down.
And be honest. Don't sugarcoat.
I am. I'm being 100% honest. The lights went down. I was excited because, like, it was a packed house opening night. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to see this movie.
Colin Farrell's
there. Toni Collette's the star. Like, it has all the ingredients of a great movie. So the movie started out. I thought the movie was about grief. Like, someone who died in it.
Toni Collette's mom.
Toni Collette's mom, and like, so it's like very, very sad. It starts off sad, and then it never. Or maybe I missed it. Toni Collette makes doll scenes, or like they're doll houses, and they're very, very. But was there any payoff with having that at all?
I mean, there were weird references to like it switching between the
like it
world
was her
she
life.
Was creating and the real world. Like there was okay. creepy, weird. There was like creepy. Weird situations where it would flip between, you almost think she's creating it in the world, but it actually was the real world. And then she would recreate scenes of that happened in her life in that dollhouse, like level of world. It's weird. I don't know.
It didn't pay off for me. I was like, who cares?
Okay.
I mean, so that was my problem with that. Gabriel Byrne, her husband, was kind of, I wouldn't say he wasn't a bad actor. He was a great
How
actor.
Funny because he was burned in the movie.
Oh yeah, we're spoiling everything again. But like, I just was so disappointed. I really, really wanted, because they were like, it's the second coming of The Exorcist, and I was like, really? What movie did I just see?
You know, so I agree and disagree.
So basically, it's about a family that's grieving and. In we're supposed to care about this family, but I didn't care about the family. I didn't care about any of them.
I mean, there's a lot to it. Like what I think. Okay, so my thoughts were, I thought it set the suspense incredibly well.
It was eerie.
The music was done well. Camera work was done well. Acting was incredible, especially Toni Collette.
Yep.
Very slow. It's a very slow, suspenseful build. it kind of teeters between a bunch of different genres. And what I mean is that while you're watching, you don't know if it's supernatural or like a witchcraft coven movie or just like an actual like grief.
That's the thing.
Death
like
response.
It has
movie.
All the ingredients of a horror movie. Like it has the creepy kid cutting off a bird head and then like, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do it.
It has creepy sounds the little girl makes, but what's it all mean?
Well, I mean, at the very end, I mean, since we're spoiling and we
just
spoil everything,
go ahead and
I mean,
spoil
like, it.
It
has supernatural elements and witchcraft elements. Basically, the mother was involved with some kind of coven or witchcraft, and they were trying to bring a demon to life, and it had to inhabit a male body. And so it inhabited the granddaughter's body, but it needed a male body, so it goes for the grandson. And like, I don't know, not exactly the scene of female empowerment.
Well, I think everyone was acting their asses off. Like everyone was strong and everyone was great, but I think the most powerful scene in the movie is when the brother is asked to take his little sister to a party and there's pot. And so like, was that the reason she was having a reaction?
No, she had the cake that had peanuts in it and she's
allergic. Oh, okay.
I
thought it was a pot. I thought it was a pot cake.
Wow. I think you were too busy watching Colin Farrell.
I know. No, I was like, what's this about?
There were a lot of elements to it that worked. The problem is, to me, only the last 15 minutes were terrifying. The last 15 minutes were pretty terrifying. When
really?
She's like, I thought so. When she's like in the corner on the wall, Toni Collette is possessed by this demon. But again, it needs a male body, so it's hunting after her son. And she's like literally suspended in the air in the corner, just waiting there watching him, and then she like takes off and is running after him into the attic, and then she like basically saws her own head off, like literally.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, that
not,
was
not
no
figure.
I agree with you, those scenes were good. So I guess I liked 4 minutes of the movie.
Well, and then the very end, it's kind of revealed that it was kind of a cult that's all kind of spearheaded by the character played by Ann Dowd, who's in what the fuck is the Hulu show? The Handmaid's Tale. You know, she plays the same character in every effing thing that she does. She plays it great, but it's the same character. Like the really dominating, like kind of scary conservative woman.
I liked her scenes, but the scene where she's like, hey, let me show you how you can talk to the dead.
Yeah,
tired.
So, the reason I said I agree and disagree is I did like it. I do not think it deserved the most terrifying movie of the year and all the incredible praise that it got. Like, I give it probably like a B+.
I think it's for people who have never seen a movie.
It would definitely be the most terrifying movie if they've never seen a movie.
And then weren't you kind of disappointed? It was like, oh, it's just a cult.
Well, I mean, yes, that's the thing after that. Well, okay, let me rephrase what I said. The last 15 minutes are not the scariest, but I'd say the last 15 minutes before the last 2 minutes, because then when you find out just kind of people that are trying
it's
to summon
old,
a demon,
old people
then you're like,
that are
yeah,
naked.
Old people, naked old people are not scary.
Painted
they're just
white.
Scary-ish bodies, but
yeah,
and there was, were there any
dongs.
Oh, yeah, there were some naked old people, which is not the most, you know,
scary,
sexy thing. Scary, not the most sexy, but no, you're right. When it turned into just like, oh, a kind of a cult thing, I feel like it was a combination of Paranormal Activity with
and you know where that movie succeeds is because Paranormal Activity really doesn't overexplain itself. I mean, at least the later ones kind of overdo it.
Yeah.
But the earlier ones leave it so open. I think it should have gone the Halloween route and just left it so vague.
Well,
like
the
crazy shit's happening and no one knows why.
The thing about Paranormal Activity, though, it saves the most terrifying moments till the end, just like this did. The difference, though, is that Paranormal Activity, it's like. It's a very simple plot. Like, it's just, you know, like something's taken over the house and little things happen, little things, and then it, you know, possession at the end. This one, like we were saying, there was a lot going on, so it's kind of like, what's going on with the plot, which kept you guessing as to what was going on. But you're right, the payoff of it just being kind of a cult wasn't the greatest.
You know, there's like well-crafted movies that like have a beginning, middle, and end, and everything adds up and there's a big payoff at the end. This movie had no payoff.
I mean, I enjoyed it. It just wasn't, it's tough though, because like if the hype was less, would we have liked it more? I would say atmospheric.
I will give it that. It has a definite atmosphere. And you know, I will give it this. If I was sitting at home alone watching in the dark, I probably would be genuinely genuinely scared, but I, in the theater full of people and hearing everyone's reaction, I was taken out of it.
See, and it's funny though, like I would say A Quiet Place was better than this movie.
Oh yeah, easy. Yeah,
like that's why I'm wondering, like A Quiet Place should be, was much like more suspenseful for me. I wouldn't call it terrifying, but it was much more suspenseful.
Yeah, I was into it, and I cared about that family.
Yeah, yeah, the people you care about. This one, well, there are also a lot of annoying, like the characters are kind of annoying. Toni Collette, as well as she did acting-wise, she plays this crazy neurotic mother who you kind of are wondering during it, is she crazy or is what she's witnessing crazy? Because she was going fucking nuts. Gabriel Byrne is just the, you know, the typical doubting husband, doesn't believe what her wife says, is kind of quiet. The son was pretty good. He looked legitimately scared and upset during most of it, which was good. And then the little creepy girl, well, spoiler alert, she isn't in it for long, which was the surprising
part.
But
I will say that scene, we already spoiled everything, but when she dies...
She has a shocking death in probably the first third
of the movie. I think it's worth seeing just for that scene.
First third of the movie. Like, she's literally putting her head out the window to try to get fresh air because she's having an allergic reaction to these peanuts.
Which I thought was a pot brownie.
Yeah, what Tim thought was pot, because you have allergic reactions to pot.
I would.
and this, the brother who drove her there is like trying to swerve away from a car, and her head, which is out the window, slams into a sign or a post.
It
knocks her head off, like completely off.
And then he drives home.
And doesn't say anything.
Just leaves the decapitated headless body in the back and just goes to bed.
And lets his mom come out the next morning and find her decapitated body in the car.
You know what? Not a good way to start the day.
No, not a good way. But he was just, I guess, what do you say? It's like, hey, knock, knock. Hey, mom, home from the party.
Yeah.
Sister's dead. And
he's like, we're going to have plenty of time to deal with this.
Oh, my God. That was shocking. The way they advertised this movie, you would have thought the little girl was like the major
part
of it.
Like Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Exactly.
But she ain't in it.
Yeah.
And she cuts off. That's another thing. Why'd she cut off a bird head?
Well, no. Because remember, so the demon that the family was trying to summon had taken over the daughter's body, but apparently it needed a male host, which is why it couldn't survive in the girl, which again, I feel like is not a great message for like women. Like it felt weird. That part felt weird to me too. It kept saying it needs a male host. Like, why does it need a male host?
Males are stronger. I joke. I can't.
I thought that was a weird message to have in it, but unless I missed something, but then it had to get out of the girl's body. And so what happened was, after the girl died, then they went after the son. Unless I'm describing this wrong.
No, maybe I mean, that makes it. Listen, I was watching Colin Farrell the entire time.
Yeah, apparently Tim was more interested in Colin Farrell.
I love Colin.
Why am I having trouble with like words today?
It's all right. It's Monday.
Words. Look. I'm off my game. You substituted someone in.
Matt's
for me.
Had a rough week.
Oh, I have had a rough week.
You don't have to talk about that. So real quick, we'll talk about the trailer that's the most awaited.
It is.
Trailer. Let me just say this. Out of all my 41 years of living, I've never like...
You're 41?
Mm-hmm. I'm letting people know the truth, Matt. I can't lie anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay.
I've been telling people 21 too long.
Well, then tell them that you're 48 then.
What?
I said, well, tell them you're 48 if you're telling the truth.
That's a lie. So, you know, there was a lot of anticipation about this trailer, and I will say I think
haven't even said what the trailer was for.
Nope, not yet.
It was the anticipation for this trailer, the new Avengers movie,
Infinity War. I would never see that. Okay, so it's not a reboot, it's not a reimagining, it's a just Halloween.
Oh, they're calling it a reboot.
Is it a reboot?
It's a sequel, but they're calling it a reboot to the franchise.
Okay, so it's like
it's a direct sequel to the
from the original 1978. So it's 40 years later. Halloween 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
And the two Rob Zombies.
And two Rob Zombies mean nothing.
This is what I find funny. Like, I have talked to a lot of people about the Halloween trailer, and people are having such a hard time understanding this. Like, it's a sequel to the original. So basically, they're acting like not even Halloween 2, which did take place that same night, but they are nixing that like it didn't exist. So Halloween 1
never happened.
When Dr. Loomis shot him and he fell off the second story balcony. Yeah. And this one, assumes that after that happened, the police came and took him to Smith's Grove, and he's been there in the mental institution for 40 years. And I feel like people just can't stop talking about, but it's ignoring movies. I mean, look, me, who's a huge fan of the franchise, I was a little weirded out when I first heard this, but I've gotten over it. So, like, we can get over it.
I had zero reaction. I said, whatever they want to do, as long as they're making a movie.
Yeah, no. But they finally released the trailer because people were talking about. Apparently, they had released some footage at CinemaCon, and, like, people just been talking about it. So, they released it earlier than they would have for an October movie.
This is what I'm excited about. Judy Greer. And that's it.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm kidding. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I love Judy Greer.
What do you think of the trailer, though? Like, just as a, not even judging it on, like, pretend you didn't even, like, I'm trying to judge trailer as just a trailer. Like, I'm putting aside my love for Halloween and just judge it as
great.
If it were a trailer.
Looks great. I mean, everything about it makes me want to see it.
So when I saw the trailer, unfortunately, I had already read the description from CinemaCon, so I knew what was in the trailer. I just hadn't seen it, so it wasn't like a surprise. But so here's the thing. Starts with this British documentary crew that is doing like a true crime investigation of Michael Myers 40 years after the original murders. That's the only part of this plot that I'm not a big fan of, I guess, because I know they have to, like, have something to introduce and give all the exposition, but I don't know. I hate, like, documentary crews doing stuff.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. It's just been done.
You didn't like Tyra
times.
Banks? Dancing with coffee?
With coffee?
That was my favorite part.
I love that her death scene was cut from the movie, so she couldn't even that. Like,
I think Tyra Banks should have been the star. I don't even remember who the star
was. Busta Rhymes?
He was fine, but the main girl, who was she?
Her name was something.
If you know
something
that,
I'll be
so impressed.
Bianca Kajalik.
Wow. I'm going to give you a dollar.
But that's just like it's setting the scene, and they're going to, and they visit Michael in the sanitarium where he's been for 40 years, and the guy like lifts up his mask and says, Michael, I have something to show you, and everyone, all the patients go crazy. And
which, by the way, I think I could have done that. I'm a member of Central Casting.
Exactly.
Go on.
You totally could have been one of those
Thank
insane
you.
Visions. And so
Dreams
I think that
sparks true.
Up like the memory of what happens. But anyway, then big surprise, you know, like a bus that's transporting the patients, why it would be transporting
Mom,
patients right before Halloween.
What bus crashed?
Yeah, it crashes, and Michael escapes. Jamie Lee Curtis, Laurie Strode, has been in Haddonfield the entire time, obsessed with Michael
fashion.
Myers. Obsessed with fashion. No, obsessed with, like, protecting herself, and she has a daughter and a granddaughter, which... being only 57.
I know, that's
young?
A little, like, I mean, she must have been, like, as soon as she survived Halloween, like, let's have babies.
She's like, let's have a baby, and then not keep, but, and then have no relation with the father, and then she told her daughter, have a baby really quick. That's right. Like, supposing, because the granddaughter's 17.
There's some loopholes.
Or, yeah, like, I think they just wanted to, they needed a teenager, and they're right. Like, she's too old to have a teenage daughter, and she's too young to have a granddaughter. People won't care, granddaughter. Yeah. But they've made her into this, like, recluse who, like, lives in her place with, that has, like, booby traps and, like, secret compartments, and she's trained with weapons because she just has been so obsessed with it, and she just has been waiting for him to escape. So
how
she
long do you think the movie is? Do you think it's like an hour and a half, or do you think they're pushing 2 hours?
I think it's gonna be longer. I just feel like to get the exposition, and then they're gonna want to have lots of Jamie Lee Curtis scenes. But they have some good scenes in the trailer.
Yeah,
they first off, they use the music from the original, which is really cool. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis looks like a badass, but she's like prepared. She's kind of like the new Dr. Loomis, and Judy Greer plays her daughter. She has one annoying line in the trailer, Tim.
Mom, what bus crashed? I don't even think I'm doing it right.
That's true. And one funny thing and kind of cool thing, they specifically address the brother-sister thing in this because, you know, since this ignores Halloween 2, she's not his sister anymore. And they actually have her granddaughter walking with friends and someone says, oh, wasn't it her brother who killed all those people? And she says, no, that's just something people made up, which I thought it's like a clever way to just get that out of the way right away if they don't want her to be his sister. But there looks like there's going to be a lot of good, like, scenes between her, Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers. I'm sure the teenage granddaughter is a big part in her friends. And they end the trailer with, I think, a really creepy, cool scene with the closet.
Sorry, I'm so popular. Well,
why are you
Go
getting
on.
A lot of text right now? When she's trying to close the closet door and she keeps trying and then something's stopping it and then she opens it and it's Michael and he goes to stab her. I thought that was
really cool. What if the studio puts all that in the trailer and then it's not even in the movie?
I mean, sometimes they do that. The only cool thing is that would have been a cool scene to be surprised with the movie. But anyway, the trailer is out. You should search for it on YouTube, Halloween trailer. And don't look at the 1978 Halloween trailer because trailers sucked in the 70s. I'm
really
sorry.
Did.
They were like really long. They wouldn't be like cut little bits of scenes. They would like literally show an entire
scene.
Yeah,
have you seen the trailer for Friday 13th, the original? It's like one, two.
Oh, yeah. And it goes all the way up to 13. Yeah,
and like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, trailers were not so entertaining back then.
Editing today is much stronger.
It is. And you know that what doesn't kill you
makes you
stronger.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
What doesn't kill you makes you.
Okay.
That's like the transition music.
That's right. We need transition music.
Okay. So would you give the Halloween trailer a thumbs up?
Yeah. Of course. I'm there.
Would you give it a thumb up your butt?
Of course. Two thumbs up my butt. Yeah.
That's just like a regular Saturday night for Tim.
You don't need to tell everyone my business. So Matt and I have gone to the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood and we've seen some stinkers.
And some blinkers.
Yeah.
No, if you guys haven't seen movies at the Egyptian,
go.
Like, they play a lot of old movies, but usually on Friday nights and sometimes Saturday nights, they'll show like old horror movies and they're usually double and triple features.
Which, by the way, we can only do two.
It's really hard to watch more than two movies in one sitting.
And our friend Jules, I think she does it. She does all three.
She is hardcore, though. She is hardcore. Yeah,
I admire her.
Those. I mean, but it's cool to see her when we go there because we know, like, when we're going to one of those horror double features or something, that she'll be there. It's like the horror community. It's like the gay community. It's like big, but it's not big. It's small, but it's not tiny. But you see sort of the same people around.
And they're so dedicated. She's so dedicated.
And when you go to these screenings, it's like usually the same 100 to 200 people that will, you know, trade off going to a lot of these horror movies.
They'll flock to see anything. And when I mean flock to see anything, what we saw was...
some crap.
We saw
Let's
start with the crap.
Well, we went to see, they had a triple feature of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, the part two and part three. We only made it through the original and part two.
Right.
And Tim?
I used to hate the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but watching it again, I actually saw why people call it a classic and I enjoyed it, but it is not... it's not for the masses. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very specific audience. And I don't even think it's that bloody. It's just gross.
See, the thing is with me, look.
You still hate it?
No. As what it did for its time, it's a classic. Purely entertainment-wise and what I like about horror, I don't love it. I just haven't. I'm sorry, Texas Chainsaw Massacre original fans. To me, it's torturous. I'm not a big fan of, like, torture. Yes, I love slasher movies, but not when they're being constantly tortured and screaming. It's like her running back and forth and back and forth, and then catching her and just torturing
her. I totally agree.
Her.
The torturing is terrible. No,
it's hard to watch. Like, it really is. I'm sorry. It just is.
But this is the reason I like it. It makes her surviving at the end, spoiler, so much more triumphant.
Yeah, but I mean, I think like you know, someone like Laurie Strode surviving the original Halloween is just as triumphant without the torture.
I totally agree with you.
Like, I feel like you can have a lot of confrontations and stuff, but I mean, again, I know what it was for. It's this crazy family that does these awful, crazy things. And in 1974, when it came out, it was just groundbreaking for its time, and I respect that. But it's not one of my favorite horror movies. I mean,
I
do respect it. It's not like I don't think it sucks. It's just not my choice.
It's not my movie. I don't like it. But I did notice some things. I was like, oh, that's good. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, I see why this happened and why this happened.
Well, at least it doesn't, like, it's not a joke like the second one. The second one
Dennis Hopper. Let's dive into that second one.
Oof, God. I can barely even remember, and we only saw it a couple weeks ago. Like, I just know there was...
I thought the lead actress was good. Because I felt bad for her because she had to deal with that material.
But she... okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
because I didn't think, like, the movie... Like, at least in the first one, like, it it doesn't make fun of itself. Like, it's legitimately scary because they're so fucked up and crazy.
Yeah.
And the second one, it's like a big joke, kind of.
And it's like, you can't really make
a joke out of torturing people to
death.
Right.
Like, I was like, this isn't fun for the audience. I'm sure it wasn't fun for the actors. I'm just like, who is the target audience?
I mean, they had Dennis Hopper. It's so funny that they've gotten such names in some of these early Texas Chainsaw Massacres, like Matthew McConaughey and
Renee Zellweger.
I mean, I know that was before they were big, but it's like,
I've seen that movie. I hate that movie too.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh God, I just got random messages.
Very popular.
No, I am. And we didn't stay for the third one, but you've seen the third one,
I have
one,
seen
right?
it. I don't remember much about it. I just remember being just like the others, just weird and gross and just mean-spirited. They're mean-spirited films. And I'm hard-pressed to recommend them to anybody. As a horror fan, you might just be curious to see like what it is, but I say skip it.
I will definitely skip it. I mean, the thing is, I've seen, I mean, Texas, I like the one with Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah, that's great. The 2003 one, I say we see that.
I really like it because they cut out a lot of the just needless torture. Obviously, they put more action in it because it was Michael Bay. And I know a lot of Michael Bay is very polarizing, especially if he delves into horror. But
I think it's the only thing I like that Michael Bay has done.
I like that there's more action and less torture. I feel like Jessica Biel is a much stronger heroine than Marilyn Chambers was. And I mean, yes, she gets out, but
is it Marilyn Chambers?
That's her. Oh, wait, Marilyn Burns. I keep saying Marilyn Chambers.
Do you know who Marilyn Chambers is?
Soft porn star.
Yeah, I was like,
I love Marilyn Chambers' work in the Texas Vagina Massacre. Bad. I think she did great. And wait, what would be a good porn name for Texas Chainsaw Massacre? The Texas. Oh, come on. There's got to be a good one.
The Texas Tingler?
The Texas Tickling
The Texas Toucher.
This is like fourth grade level porn.
Listen,
humor.
I can't get it.
The Texas Chain Twat Massacre?
Oh, Matt. How about just Tex Ass?
The Tex Ass Chain Saw Assacre. The Texas Chainsaw Assacre.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Someone coming around.
That's
okay, good. Got it. Took me a little while. Got it.
You guys,
Assacre.
We're making this up on the spot. We're not writers.
Not our best. Also, I am so hungry right now.
Me too.
I didn't know I'd be this hungry right now. And you know what time it is right now? 4 a.m.
Oh,
just kidding.
No.
It's 7 p.m. Okay, so let's move past Texas Chainsaw Massacres to even worse movies.
From Beyond and In the Mouth of Madness.
We saw a double, well, it was another triple feature, which Tim and I only stayed for two.
But the third one, it was real interesting. It was The Mist, but in black and white.
But it was the new Mist?
Yeah, The Mist that was made in like, when was The Mist made? Like 2007?
2007?
Yeah. Stephen King?
Stephen King, based off of a Stephen King book.
Okay.
I don't think he directs movies.
He did Maximum Overdrive.
Did he?
I can talk about that.
So we did From Beyond.
Yeah.
Which is a 1980s sci-fi slash supernatural-ish type movie. I mean, I feel like you liked it more than I did.
I liked it because I expected nothing and I got something.
I expected nothing and I got nothing. I mean, like it is just, and again, I try to give I try to give a pass to older movies that didn't have the special effects to do like alien
stuff. But they did have special effects with makeup. They didn't go the CGI route, so that's why I appreciated it.
It was just this weird shit where they found this other dimension that when they like turn it on, they get turned on sexually, which was really cheesy and ridiculous. And then there's these blob things that exist in this other dimension that like eat off your head or like suck out your body. I don't know. It was like there was a lot of weird sexual innuendos to it.
The movie the machine that the scientists used makes you horny.
It makes you horny, but it also you see these weird creatures in another dimension. It all starts because one doctor like dies slash goes into the other dimension permanently.
But this doctor was addicted to S&M.
Yeah, a hornball and like doing all types of stuff. But it's like it's not like they really showed much sex, but they just like
implied.
Yeah. And it was just it was such a weird group of three, because it's like this woman who is really beautiful, but looks like she could be a porn star, but of course is a scientist
with big glasses, yeah, like Sally Jesse Raphael.
Because the second she has glasses and puts her hair up, she's smart.
Right.
And then there's the guy who is the, I guess, the assistant of the scientist who went into the other dimension. And then randomly, there's this big, tall, black guy that looks kind of like Shaft.
Cop. He's a cop.
And he's kind of like comic relief, but he's also like a cop that's protecting her.
But he was wearing tight underwear. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, he looked kind of good in those.
I will say, I was like, huh.
Yeah, he filled those up pretty well, I got to say. But they did. But why was he even in the movie?
Because he was
comic relief.
No. He was, for her to have the scientist, he was dangerous and crazy, so she needed someone there to protect her.
Oh, but it was just such a weird group of three, because he's constantly cracking jokes, which his dialogue was at least the best, you know, like, I mean, at least it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But of course, you knew from the beginning he was expendable because he was a side character, so he dies.
Which, by the way, how he died makes no sense.
Creature. Or no, they were. And then in this dimension, there were all these weird bees that, like.
Yeah, and they were they bees? I don't even know.
I
what
thought they were weird. I don't know, but like, I just thought
there were some loopholes.
No. I mean, it was like you have to be into a really certain type of movie to like this. I mean, this is like clearly it's B level like creature.
Absolutely.
Like think creature feature / sci-fi meets. Cheese.
Well, I will say this. The there was a talk back. Matt and I were
talking
to each other. But we were like, the guy was up there talking about how he's made Reanimator, which I think is a far superior film.
Do you know I haven't even seen Reanimator?
Oh, you should see it.
I know.
It's really good.
I've heard a lot about
that. And then they just kind of like took the crap that didn't work in that movie and made Fart From Beyond.
And made
Fart
Farts.
Beyond.
And made farts. They took the crap beyond. And made farts.
And it just didn't work. I think they were like, oh, we can do this.
Didn't they say it was supposed to be kind of like a sequel?
Yeah, but it didn't gel. Something was missing, like.
Did not work.
So let's wrap it up
with
the last film, John Carpenter's. God, there's a lot of John Carpenter. In The Mouth of Madness, made in 1995, which I actually saw on opening day. Have not seen it since until...
Sensei.
From The Karate Kid.
Okay, you go ahead.
So how many years is that? Let me do the math real quick. 2005, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 24 years ago.
It's not 2019.
Oh, I'm rounding up. We're in the future.
We're in the future. This podcast takes place in 2019.
Yes, enjoy. I didn't remember it then, and I pretty much was forgetting it as I was watching it today.
You know, okay, so obviously I'm a huge John Carpenter fan because Halloween is my favorite movie. So, and I hadn't seen this, so I was very excited to see another John Carpenter movie. You know, and it's funny, when it started, I could totally see John Carpenter in like the suspenseful way, like they had like the shadows in the back when Sam Neill's in like the insane asylum and the way they were doing things. To me, I don't want to, and I'm not just saying this to suck up the John Carpenter, I don't blame the direction of the movie. I blame the story. Like
the writer
just went out of, it starts with, like, how do you even describe this movie?
It's the
story. I don't even know how to describe.
A writer
goes missing, right? It's like a horror writer, like a Stephen King-esque horror writer.
Sutter Kane, Stephen King,
who's a horror writer, has written a new book, but he went missing, and they go to look for him, right?
Right, and then I really can't even tell you what happened.
Then the guy, Sam Neill, who's going, the detective, going
from
to
Jurassic
look for
Park.
Him. Yeah, he kind of gets trapped in the book that's being written, and everything he experiences is actually what you read. And it's like, apparently these books are known for, like, the people who read them, they go a little crazy. So you don't know during the whole thing if he's going crazy, but when he returns, everything that we just watched that took place in this movie was actually the book that was written by the horror writer, I guess. I don't know.
I was listening to everything you said,
and I still didn't get it. That's the thing, and that's the problem. Now, granted, I was sort of tired, and I'm not going to pretend that I didn't doze off a couple times because it was at night. I dozed a little.
I did not.
I ate
popcorn.
I didn't love it. I didn't even like it. Sorry, John.
No, the actress.
Because I know he's listening.
John he Carpenter. Is. He's like, oh, when's my like, happy wartime being paycheck. Released?
He's like, they mentioned my name, paycheck.
No, the actress was there, Julie Carmen. And
Julie Carmen.
Julie, yes.
Hello.
She was also in Fright Night Part 2. Fun fact. Far superior film to what we just saw. But she was talking about it. I don't even think she could explain it.
I mean, I feel like anyone in... What part was she in it?
She was the lead actress.
The main
actress,
girl? Oh. Yeah, she probably hasn't seen it She's since like, you saw F? It. It's crazy. I mean, again, I think it was written to be a thing, like kind of a mind fuck in a way, like you don't quite know because that's the whole thing. But it didn't work for me.
It could have been PG-13.
I'm okay if a movie ends and doesn't answer every single question, but I also don't want to be confused as to too much when a movie ends.
You know what question I had?
What?
Why was it even made?
Oh! You know, I am... And it's funny, I wonder what, like, Stephen King or someone wrote, because of obviously Sutter Kane, is, you know, it's going off of Stephen King.
You know, it was definitely such a victim of the time. It was definitely a 90s, like... It just screamed 90s.
It did. The clothes, the
everything.
I thought Sam Neill was pretty good, like acting wise. But here's the thing. I mean, it was better than From Beyond. I mean, From Beyond was just crap.
I enjoyed the other one. I enjoyed really? Far Beyond.
Better. I thought Far Beyond. I enjoyed Far Beyond too.
I don't know.
I enjoyed Far and Away really well.
Nicole Kidman's amazing. Yeah, and she has such chemistry with Tom Cruise.
Exactly. Who would have thought that they just never had
one
sex
because
Tom.
One day, one night, one journey. Do you remember that song? They play that song like 3 times in the movie.
In Far and Away?
Yeah.
I like how we're doing like a 6 degrees of movie titles. We went From Beyond to Far Beyond to Far and Away to Away We Go to
I Never
Go Home
no.
to Home Sweet Home to
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama to The Sweetest Thing.
You put, hey,
starring, starring Carmen Electra. Starring, wait, The Sweetest Thing is with Selma Blair and Cameron Diaz and...
Christine Applegate.
Let's keep it going. The Sweetest Thing to The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right.
Oh, wait. What do you go off of Thing? To Crazy Little Thing Called Love. That's a song. Oops.
With Sandra Bullock and River Phoenix. There's a movie called A Little Thing Called Love.
To 10 Things I Hate About You. To...
The Glass House.
Wait, that... No. Wait, but no.
I do
no,
what I want. Okay, you guys.
So, Tim, don't leave me again, please.
Don't leave me this way.
You mean don't leave me this way.
Hey, Matt, can you put the ho in homosexual?
Hey, Tim.
Yes?
You put the mo in homosexual.
Matt, you put the sex. In fact,
oh God, we are losing it. Okay, it is almost coming up. The next holiday is July 4th. You know, funny enough, there are some July 4th related horror movies like Uncle Sam.
We actually watched that last year.
We watched that last year, but you hadn't done a podcast yet. We could have talked about that. That was sort of like entertaining in a funny way.
PJ Souls is in it. That's all I remember.
Oh my God.
And I remember that day I saw Red Dawn.
The Prowler. We didn't even talk about
The Prowler.
You know
what?
46
minutes. We don't have time.
Nobody wants to listen for longer than 45 minutes.
That's right. And we're over our limit. All right. So let me just say this. Matt, it's been a total pleasure. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And next week we'll have Fernando back. Yay!
Oh, you little bitch. Happy hard time.
Happy hard time. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.